since, I don't know, probably since the beginning of time, but certainly since the early church got started, where we see and face persecution as Christians for what we believe. It's something we necessarily don't feel as much here or in different ways because it's been something that people in other countries or other places in the world seem to endure, but not us. I have friends who serve over in the Middle East. He originally is from Jordan. His wife is from Germany. And they serve with people who are Muslim background believers. And if they were to be known as far as who they are, their lives would be in danger for what they do, reaching out to the people they do. Because there are those in the world who are very antagonistic towards the gospel and message of Jesus. And in the news in the last little while, we maybe feel that that's coming a little bit closer to home now, as some of those acts of violence aren't just isolated to other places in the world, but are starting to show up in our own backyards. So today, we get to talk about suffering. And we're not talking about suffering because Dave likes to be pessimistic and likes to talk about suffering. We're talking about suffering because it's the next thing that Peter talks about in his letter to the early church. And a church, well, a number of churches where believers were really struggling with the realities they were facing in the world they lived in. Believers who were struggling because they felt this kind of this persecution from the world around them. Not necessarily a really violent persecution at the time Peter wrote this, but certainly a difference in values and of being looked down upon or being thought of as odd or strange. And maybe that's more a kind of suffering or persecution we could relate to. Now, it's important as we get into this text today and look at what Peter has to say about suffering, there's a few important things we got to know. One of them is the kind of suffering he's talking about. Because there's lots of different types of suffering we have in our world today. We have suffering because we live in a fallen world. And because we live in a fallen world where sin is a reality, we have things like sickness and disease and death. So there are types of suffering that are related to that, where we suffer with things like cancer or other problems and ailments in our bodies, where we struggle with emotional things and relationships that are broken down. That kind of suffering is not the kind of suffering Peter's referring to specifically today. That's suffering that we endure because our world is broken. He's also not talking about suffering because of the poor choices we make. In fact, in this text, he refers to that. Don't go suffering because you're being an idiot. Okay? So if you're suffering because you're being stupid and making bad choices, he's not referring to you in this text. Okay? That's just you're suffering because you're not being all that smart in what you're doing. What Peter is talking about, though, in this text is about suffering because you believe and follow Jesus Christ with your life. And how do we live in light of the suffering we face because of our faith? Now, one of the questions I had kind of coming into this text today is, what does it look like for us today to suffer? Because, like I said, we don't necessarily here in the West, particularly in Canada, and very much more specifically in Prince George, we don't suffer the same way my friend in the Middle East does because of his faith. Nor do we suffer the same way people who are coming to faith in places like Iraq will suffer for their faith. So what does it mean for us to actually suffer for believing in Jesus? What does persecution look like? So here's what we did. I asked Pastor Dawn if she would poll the youth to ask them simply, how do you guys feel this, like in your schools and the relationships you guys have? How do you feel a little bit of maybe persecution or suffering because of what you believe about Jesus? Thought I'd share their answers with you today. All right? Here we go. This is the flip charts, actually, of the answers that were recorded. So one of the things was how can you believe with all the bad stuff that goes on in the world? How can you believe in a God that would allow all this bad stuff to happen? How can you believe when science says, no, this isn't real? Or just the comment, that's stupid. Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. Christianity caused all of history's problems. How can you believe and follow that? How can you believe in a God when the church says bisexuality is wrong? I lost my best friend because I became a Christian. Where's your proof that God's real? Or just even being accused of being a goody-goody or a teacher's pet because you follow Jesus. So this may look a little different than what even Peter has in mind, although I think it's a little more along the lines of what he and his followers were experiencing in the early church. One of the interesting questions that came up in this, though, because there was, from what I understand, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Don, there was a bit of silence when you started bringing up this question. And so one of the questions Pastor Don asked the kids was, how many of your friends actually know you're a Christian? Which maybe is a good question for us today, too. How many of the people you run into in the world, the people you work with, the people in your family, the people in your social network, the people you run into day by day, how many of them would actually identify you as a follower of Jesus Christ? Maybe the reason we don't feel persecution a whole lot is because nobody knows we're actually a Christian. Well, what is your experience of suffering for Jesus? Maybe it feels a bit like some of what some of the youth said. Maybe you feel some of that in some of the conversations you have or how people look at you. I know whenever I'm in a conversation meeting new people, and it always, you know how guys are, right? Eventually the question is asked. Right. And so I tell them, I'm a pastor. And guess what happens? Yeah, lots of silence. And suddenly there's no more swearing in the conversation. Right? No, those kind of things happen, right? It's one of those spaces where there can be uncomfortableness. And so what is your experience of that? What does it feel like for you to suffer for Jesus? Or because you are a follower of Jesus Christ? Peter has a lot to say to us about that. And again, it's a little different context of persecution, but I think it's pretty similar in some ways to what we face today. Being a little bit marginalized because of our faith. It's no longer mainstream. Christianity is no longer the mainstream doctrine, if you like, of our society. So, what does he have to say to us when we're facing persecution because of what we believe? Well, we're going to be opening up to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19 today. So if you have your Bibles here on your phone or in paper copy, you can turn there now. And we'll have it up on the screen to follow along in a few moments, too, for you. But let's just take a moment to pray and ask God to speak to us through his word. Father, we give you thanks that you have recorded for us in your word, your heart and your thoughts, the experiences of your people all through history. And Father, even as we identify a little bit with the early church and the struggles they had for being followers of Jesus in a culture where there were so many gods, Father, we just pray that you'd speak to our hearts too from Peter's encouragement to them. That we would feel encouraged to live out boldly our faith in the world today. Lord, that we be encouraged to keep walking with you day by day and being a light to those around us. But Father, I just pray that as we open up your text today, as we open up your word, you would give us eyes to see what we need to see today. You would give us ears to hear the whispering of your spirit and hearts that are ready to respond to you. Whatever it is you ask of us today. And may it be your words we hear and not mine, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we're going to read through the whole text first, and then we'll come back to the little bits and pieces as we go through for the different pieces that Peter talks about. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or of any kind, other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. All right. First thing we pick up and we see in this text is that Peter says, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when this happens to you. I don't know why we're shocked when things go badly because we're following Jesus. I mean, maybe it's because we think that, you know, things should be better because we're following the loving God of the universe. That's who we're serving. So therefore, our lives should be perfect and we should never have problems again, right? No. Thank you, Max. You're right. Sometimes I think we feel that way, though. that things should just go fine because we're choosing to serve God. And if we're serving God, then surely God should be doing good things for us, right? We shouldn't hit any bumps in the road. Sometimes when we get surprised by this, when we get surprised by suffering and persecution, it can cause us to get a little disillusioned about our faith. If God really loved me, why would he let this stuff happen to me? But Peter says, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised by this fiery ordeal that's coming against you. Don't be surprised about culture looking at you like you're strange. Don't be surprised when they disagree with you. Don't be surprised when they don't believe in what you believe or when they marginalize you and push you out of the mainstream of society or look down on you because of your belief in Jesus. We were all living there once too. Maybe you were young when you came to faith, but we've all had our moments of being in that place, looking down at those of faith. I actually want to invite Jada up here this morning. And Jada, just as you grab the mic there. Jada's first church service was last Christmas Eve when she came to church. And this past summer, Jada was baptized. But we had a chance to have some great conversations, actually, on your journey. And you know, because this is a little more fresh for you, probably, too, in your mind, maybe you could tell us a little bit of what you thought about Christianity and also Christians before you actually believed.
Well, I believed, how could you follow something without proof? That the Bible was just a book to control people, that people took. I also thought that Christians were judgmental and that they thought they were better than other people. Because I remember having moments in my life where I was judged by people who were religious. At the age of 9, I was kicked out of Sunday school for saying I didn't believe in God. I also remember thinking how people could believe in an imaginary man in the sky and follow a book full of stories. Mm-hmm. I was really ignorant. I just thought that it was a book with stories of good morals and values. And then I came to realize that I was the judgmental one.
Yeah, so why don't you tell us a little bit about what happened when you actually started to seek this out for yourself?
Well, I needed proof. It was a huge part of my journey. And the amount of proof that's out there is actually incredible.
Yeah.
It's astounding. Almost every story I researched can be backed up with some sort of evidence. My whole life just changed. It didn't take me long to realize how ignorant I really was. I also realized that before I accepted God into my life, there was no purpose or direction in my life. It's actually kind of sad. Now I actually feel I have a purpose, and also knowing someone that loves me as much as he does is a pretty incredible feeling.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks very much, Jay. I appreciate you being willing to come up and share your story with us today. Let's give her a hand. For those who have not had a chance to seek this out and encounter Jesus for themselves, it shouldn't be that surprising that they don't see things the way we do. Why would we expect any different? Don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal you're facing, because in this culture, we have people who just have not experienced God, who don't have the understanding of who he is. So we shouldn't be surprised by that. But not only that, why are we surprised when Peter actually talks about the fact that Jesus suffered as well? So if the one that we're following suffered because of what he preached, why would we be surprised that in following him and what he preached, we would suffer? Right? Why would that be a big shock that the one that we're following suffered, so now why would we have to suffer? Why would we be surprised when we face trials? Now, God actually talks about this being a testing as well, and we're going to come back to that idea, okay? We're going to come back to that word, testing. But we shouldn't be surprised by this, folks. This is a normal part of our Christian walk. And I know, you know, we don't want to live in the place of being, oh, yeah, gee, my life's hard because I'm a Christian. No! No. See, Peter gets right to that as well. Don't be surprised by the fact that you're suffering, but at the same time, rejoice. Rejoice in the midst of suffering. Now, this is not a rejoicing because suffering is fun. We're not trying to proclaim some kind of masochistic, yeah, let's just beat ourselves up because that's awesome. It's not what we're talking about, okay? Suffering in and of itself is not a great time. However, he does give us some reasons why we should be rejoicing in the midst of suffering. Verse 13 and 16, rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. There is an identification with Jesus in the suffering that we do for his name. When we suffer as a follower of Jesus, we are identifying with him. We're sharing in the sufferings that he actually went through. And it says there too, so you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. When we see him come back, there will be an incredible joy that comes after we've suffered alongside Jesus Christ. I think that celebration comes in part because we realize that the suffering is only temporary and that there's something so much greater that's eternal that we get to enjoy with him. But I think it also comes because there's a vindication that shows that, yeah, we chose wisely on this earth to follow after Jesus because we get to see his glory be revealed. So rejoice because you identify with Jesus Christ. You bear that name. You're sharing in his sufferings, and you will share also in his joy when he comes back. This is a great reason to rejoice, even when we're in the midst of suffering. But not only that, verse 14. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. When we are facing suffering because we are persecuted because of the name of Jesus on us, we know that God's presence is also with us. Just as God was with Jesus in the midst of his suffering as he walked that long road to the cross, so God is with us in the midst of our suffering. So even though we're facing persecution, and sometimes when we're suffering, it feels like God's a million miles away because it's hard, and we can feel alone and isolated. But we need to remember that God is actually there in the midst of our trials. He's right there with us. His Spirit rests on us. And so we can rejoice because we know the presence of God is with us in the midst of our suffering. But the third thing that kind of comes out in this text that Peter writes about why we can rejoice in suffering is because there's a purpose in our suffering. And for Peter, this isn't so much about character building, although we read that in other places when, you know, perseverance produces character and those kinds of things. But for Peter in this moment, it's not so much the purpose for character building, but a sense of actually living in the judgment of God, in the separation of that he's doing within his church and within the world, starting to set things right and separate people who are either following him or not. This is what he says in verses 17 and 18. It's time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and sinner? It's time for justice to begin with the household of God. One thing that we know to be true, I think it's pretty easy to say, that persecution will show the genuineness of what you believe. If you're persecuted for something, right, for believing something, if you don't really believe it, are you really going to keep going with it to the end? Or you just going to say, you know what, this isn't worth the trouble. Persecution ultimately will show the truth of what we believe, right? Which is why, just as a little side example, I think that's why the disciples' testimony of the resurrection was so compelling. After Jesus rose again, right? The disciples went around and they believed it with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They were martyred because they believed so passionately in the fact that Jesus had come back to life. Now, if the theories were true that the disciples kind of got him off the cross and hid him and nursed him back to life or whatever, or he actually died and they just kind of hid it and tried to tell people that he was raised again, there would have been no way that they would have been willing to die for that. Why would you die for something you know is not true? They faced incredible persecution and it showed what they actually believed. They actually believed in the resurrection of Jesus. And the persecution we face will show what we actually believe. Come back to that question. How many people know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? The judgment that is going on, that starts with the household of God, is a part of separating those who truly believe and those who don't. And it's an invitation to actually get on board with actually believing, truly. And Peter says it's hard for believers. This is not going to be an easy thing for people who believe in Jesus. He's not talking here about the cost of what salvation is. He's not talking about how much it costs to be saved. Although we know that was very costly, because Jesus had to give his life for our salvation. But that's not Peter's point. It's hard for believers because holding firm to Jesus in the midst of suffering is not easy to do. It's not easy when people are looking down at us or thinking we're odd or kind of separating us out or leaving us out of things because of what we choose to believe. It's not an easy thing to do. But we should know that this is a part of really helping us own our faith, truly. Separating out those who believe and those who don't. It helps us own this all the more surely. Kind of makes me think, though, you know, this is just a little side note, but it challenges my heart about how much I actually pray for those who face harsher persecution than I do. To be able to hold firm in the midst of facing threats of death. Dawn and I were talking about this week, and just about, she subscribes to the weekly newsletter from Voice of the Martyrs, and reading the stories of people in other places who regularly give their lives for Jesus Christ. I don't spend a lot of time praying for them, and feel kind of convicted to be able to do that, or start doing that a lot more. Our persecution, like we've talked about, looks a lot different. It's a lot more subtle. Kind of almost pushes us into sort of a bland form of Christianity in some ways. Just sort of a nice group of people following after Jesus. But there's a purpose. There's a purpose in our suffering that God is trying to actually make sure we hold on to what is true. And so because of that, we can rejoice. We can rejoice because we're identifying with Jesus. We can rejoice because of his presence and because there's a purpose in our suffering. It's not just for the sake of suffering. There's something God's accomplishing through this, and he's helping us with as well. All right. Don't be surprised, but rejoice when you suffer for the name of Jesus. Last piece. Faithfully continue to do good. Verse 19. So then those who suffer according to God's will, not as a meddler or a murderer or those kind of people, but suffering according to God's will, suffering according to the name of Christ, should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Those who suffer for the name of Christ should commit themselves to their Creator and continue to do good. Continue to do the things that he's asked us to do. This has been sort of Peter's challenge throughout the book. Going back a few chapters and a number of weeks ago, when we were talking about live such good lives among the pagans so that they will see your deeds and praise God on the day he visits us, right? Peter has been on this right from the start, this living a good life according to the will of God, living the kinds of things that God wants us to do. And in the midst of suffering, we shouldn't stop doing that. But rather, keep going, persevere, press through, and do the good things we know God has asked us to do already. Don't let suffering derail us from the life that we know God has called us to. But rather, hold on to God and continue to do good in the midst of suffering. So what about us? Well, suffering may look a little different than it does in other places in the world. It may look different than it did for Peter's, these churches that he was writing to back in the early church in the early centuries. It may look a lot different than that, but the response for us is still the same. Even though we may just feel it in a little bit more of marginalization or may feel it in people looking down on us or thinking we're a little odd, our response should still be the same. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked when people look at you funny, or when they might think that you're a little odd, or don't agree with you, or think you're stupid for what you believe. Don't be surprised. It's going to happen. It's just a part of our Christian walk. But rejoice. Rejoice when people mock us and look down on us, because we know in doing that, in enduring that suffering, we're identifying with Christ. Rejoice because we know there's a purpose in this. Rejoice because we know that God's with us in the midst of that. We're not alone. Know that he is with you when you face that stuff. And continue to do good. Don't give up on this, but persevere through it. Continue to do the things that God has called us to do. Don't lose heart when you face suffering for the name of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word to us that reminds us that in this world we are going to face trouble. I know Jesus said it, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good heart because I have overcome the world. Father, thanks for the reminder that we are going to face trials and ordeals in the world we live in. The world's a fallen world. But that in the midst of it, you're with us and we can rejoice and have confidence of what's to come. That we can be overjoyed when Jesus returns. That even though we're being tested right now, Lord, you're doing that to refine us too. That there's a purpose in our suffering. So help us continue to do good, living out every day the things you've called us to. And we just thank you that in the midst of all of this, you continue to encourage and bless us. Yeah, we give you thanks for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.